Hello, friends. It's time for the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Mark Heath. I'm back in the chair. The man who filled in for me last week admirably is now back in his comfy pundit position, wearing a lovely lavender jumper. The man we like to call Hutch Hogan, the man who is definitely biologically capable of sweating, as we've discussed on many occasions indeed. Have you ever OD'd an adrenaline, Hutchie?
Not yet. I think I might have to start, because yeah. That could solve my solve my back issues.
It could. So all that needs to happen is I need to shoot at you, essentially.
Off the coast of Argentina, if you could.
That seems a long way to go, just to shoot at you. I'd rather do it here. How are you, mate?
Good. You?
Have we had the jingle?
We have now.
There we go. So it's Hutchie Hogan.
I'm back.
You're
I'm
indeed.
Always back. I do like not being the host of this podcast.
Why don't you like being
here.
The host?
I don't know. Maybe too much adrenaline.
Yeah. I am buzzing right now. How are you, my friend? What have you been up to?
Not much, mate.
Nothing to say, mate. Nothing to say.
I watched that car crash of an interview on there. I watched it yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
For
those of you who haven't seen, we are, of course, referencing the aptly titled car crash interview with Prince Andrew and the BBC. Have you ever been to Ipswich West in Woking, Hutchie?
Once. Very memorable visit, though.
Was
very,
it?
Very memorable. Because I don't normally go to somewhere
okay.
like that in Woking. I've only been a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it's back in 2001, probably.
Blimey.
March time.
Blimey. What are the chances of that?
Well.
It must be very, very good pizza at Pizza
Express
in Woking.
Have you seen some of the reviews that are popping up? If you Google Pizza Express Woking and go on the reviews,
yeah.
they're amazing.
Superb. Some current affairs chat there to start the podcast with. Don't tell us we don't give you everything we've got and more. Across the table, wearing a burgundy shirt, the man who woke up at 6:30 a.m. this morning, got up as well, and therefore will probably fall asleep at some point in the next half hour or so. It's a survivor of a lightning strike, a man with a fine, bushy beard, producer Ross.
Are we giving out medals for getting up at 6:30 in the morning? Maybe to Ross. It's kind of
yeah.
yeah.
It's rare for me. Not yeah. gonna lie.
So you were just explaining to us that you wisely have your alarm located across the room.
Yeah.
Therefore, you have to get out of bed physically to turn it off, which
yeah.
sounds like a great idea for someone who struggles
yeah.
to get up. But normally, what you do is you turn the alarm off and then get back into bed.
Yeah, I bring the alarm with me.
Right.
It's because my alarm is my phone. I really should normally get like an alarm on the side, you know, on the side of the bed.
But it's a good idea. That's what they say, don't you? If you struggle to get out of bed, have
yeah.
the alarm located somewhere you have
basically.
To get out of bed. But you counter that by just getting back into bed.
Yeah, I turn it off and I'm like, I debate, like, ooh, I'm up. I'm out of bed.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to get out of bed. But
yeah.
no, I go straight back in and I, of course. Normally go before back to sleep.
So hibernate.
How many times yeah. are you hitting snooze on that before you ultimately then do get... Or is Sasha waking you up?
Yeah, she normally wakes me up.
Although
I don't do snooze. I just turn it off and then bring it into bed. She's got alarm as well because I normally wake up just early, a little bit before her, because I just want to make sure I'm up, ready and stuff like that. But normally her alarm then wakes me up. So
yeah.
But now I said last night, I went, do you know what I'm going to do? So I'm going to turn that alarm off and I'm going to go straight into the kitchen... I make a tea, and that's what I did.
Yeah,
and that is why I'm wired right now. But as
you're
I said,
you're a tea man though. In the morning, most
yeah.
people get on the coffee. You're saying you don't like caffeine.
No, I don't really like coffee. Really, I'm not the hardcore stuff. Really.
Okay, but you do drink about 14 cups of tea a day.
Yeah, which is made by yours truly.
Yeah,
normally, but yeah,
yeah.
I'm very wired at the moment. But give it half an hour, maybe yawning and falling
yeah,
asleep.
Just,
so
just fade down your mic if you're going to yawn.
Yeah, I will do.
There'll be enough people yawning listening to this, I'm sure.
No,
boys, I've been away for a week. Been in the Peak District. What have I missed? What have you been up to? Tell me. Give me some news.
We went to Colchester.
We'll get on to that in a minute. Let's not give away the goal just yet. I should also mention, of course, the doctor, Stuart Watson, who would normally be the fourth cog in this machine we call the Kings of Anglia, is taking house calls. So he's not around this week. He is returning. He's currently on holiday, I believe. Hutch, you can update me on this. He's returning to cover the game at Lincoln on Wednesday. And you're saying he's literally driving from Cornwall to Lincoln?
Essentially. I think we're possibly with an overnight stopover in there, but driving from Cornwall to his home in Suffolk.
Yeah.
And then within a few hours on the road again.
What glamorous lives.
To Lincolnshire.
Glamorous
yeah,
life you lead.
It's all very exciting.
Absolutely. So, boys, so you've got nothing to report other than going to Colchester. You haven't been up to anything. There's been no excitement going on.
Kitchen's finished.
Oh,
That is I knew exciting. That would excite that you. I don't know if anybody else will be as excited about this.
Does that mean the
you.
Floor is finished?
Yeah.
Is it toasty? Are you sleeping well, now on your floor?
Well, actually, you're not allowed to turn it on for another week while the adhesive dries.
The electrics settle down.
Yeah. But yeah, it's done.
Are you happy with it?
Delighted.
I want to come see your kitchen now, actually.
Come and see it.
I'm at the age now. Obviously, I buy mustard chinos. I recently had my first, I forgot to mention this, when I went to Venice, it was my first denim-free holiday. At no point did I wear jeans on that. I was totally clad in chinos the whole time. And now I'm excited about kitchens and bathrooms and stuff like that. So there you go. That's my life. What else is my life last week was the Peak District. It was flooding everywhere. It was very wet. It meant that we were forced to camp in pubs quite a lot, which was dreadful. But emerging from that, I have a little fun guess who I thought we could play before we get into the football chat.
Yes, please.
So picture the scene. Last Sunday, first walk. Pick a nice little 4.5 miler. I don't know how much walking you've done, but invariably you get lost. So we got very lost. Kind of tempers were fraying. And we happened across a pub in this tiny little village. And again, I don't know how familiar you are with pubs in places like the Peak District, but some of them you walk in and it is literally like walking in someone's lounge. I mean, it would be no exaggeration to say that this pub was probably a little bit bigger than this room, and there were about 30 people in there. So we had to sit outside on a cold stone step outside, and then walking up the road towards us came an actor who has been in two of this country's most successful comedy shows of the last 10 years, both of which were turned into films, one of which was turned into multiple films, and he wandered over and he petted Benson. And he said, "What a lovely dog." And we were like, "Yes, you are correct." So I want you to guess. So I've given it away there. He's an actor. He's been in two massive comedy shows. I would imagine that all of us in this room are fans of at least one of them. I think I know we are.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, it was Rowan Atkinson. Yeah, yeah.
Was it really?
No.
Oh.
No, so who wants to go first? Yes or no? If you get it right, you stay on.
Are we guessing names? Or
you're not going to know his name. I don't know his name. I just know his characters.
Is he really, really tall?
He's relatively tall. So that's kind of a yes.
Was he in the In-Betweeners?
He was in the In-Betweeners.
Oh.
Was it the teacher?
No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. That's Greg Davis.
Yeah.
I know his name. But he was in the In-Betweeners, so Ross.
Is that Neil, the character, Neil's character?
No.
Was it Neil's dad?
It was Neil's dad.
Oh, Neil's dad. The bald guy.
Yeah, the bald guy.
He was in the thick of it as well.
Exactly, which is where I recognised him from.
Which spun off into that really odd film, In the Loop, was basically the film, but they all had different
with
character
different
names.
Characters, yeah. Yeah, it was odd. So yes, Neil's dad, famously called the Bumder in In-Betweeners.
Just because he liked badminton.
Yeah, he strolled up the road towards us and we were like, is that... Well, at first, I recognised him as Julius from The Thick of It. He was a very posh spin doctor in that.
Yeah.
And then Liz quickly looked up IMDb and went, oh, yeah, he was in The In-Betweeners as well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He looks a lot younger in real life because I guess in The In-Betweeners, they have to make him look a bit older.
Yeah.
He has to grow a bit more hair and stuff. Yeah. Just as posh in real life.
Is
though,
he?
I
was
going to
ask
him
that.
Yeah. He came over and he kind of petted Benson and what a lovely dog. And we were like, oh, thanks, yeah, he loves attention. He went, I bet he does. And later on, Liz had to go in and kind of squeeze by him and say, oh, can I just get by? And he went, not at all. So I can confirm the actor, whose name I still don't know, but Neil's dad slash Julius.
Neil's dad's fine, isn't it?
Is indeed as posh as he sounds, but a bit more young-looking in real life. Anyway, that was exciting, wasn't it? A good way to start the show. Let's get back to the football, shall we? Colchester United last week in the... Elf Trophy, I know you started calling it, which I like.
It's going to creep into written words at some point, I'm afraid. Yeah. Every time I type it out, I call it the Elf Trophy, which is fine, it's Christmas.
Ipswich Town lost the massive derby by a quite spectacular fluke goal. Is he claiming that he meant that, or was it...?
He did, yeah, but I think...
Been practicing that in training, yeah. Definitely.
Everybody else, John McGreal, Colchester manager, said it was a fluke. The rest of his teammates said it was a fluke. But he said he meant it. So. Yeah. Which reliably informed. Darren Ambrose was doing co-commentary for BBC Suffolk on Saturday. And he before that interview took place, he stressed that the player must absolutely claim that he meant it. So he did.
Not convinced. Anyway, so Town lost. Obviously, devastating blow. which meant they finished second in their group and are now travelling to Peterborough in the next round.
Could have been worse.
Could have been worse. Could have been
it wasn't. It wasn't the devastating blow that we feared it would be.
It could have been like Exeter, couldn't it, or Plymouth,
Exeter or Bristol Rovers.
Bristol. Okay. So, boys, obviously you've had a few days to reflect now, and I'm sure you've spent a lot of time reflecting on it. what if anything did we learn from said game?
I think I've done. That's all I've been doing actually. Is reflecting on this. On this game.
Just the two 16-year-olds, really. That was a bit of a surprise. Like, we were expecting young players to feature, but for, like, that one 16-year-old, he's not even got a scholarship yet. He's still a schoolboy. For him just to feature was just a big surprise for me.
What was his name?
Tawanda Chirawewa.
I'm pleased you said that, because Ross would have murdered
him. Yeah, I would say, like, Chihuahua or something.
Tawanda Chihuahua.
Yeah.
So where did he come from? What's the deal there? I've never heard of him.
He's 16 and 31 days, which makes him the youngest player ever to have played, the second youngest player ever to have played for Ipswich, behind Connor Wickham.
What about Byron Lawrence?
He's the next one.
Yeah. Byron Lawrence was because he looked about 12 when he played for Ipswich.
Yeah. Okay. But Tawanda looks very young, young man. He's only been 16 a month. He's at school in Shenfield. And... yeah, he's just kind of playing under 15s, under 16s. He's not played for the under 18s. He's not played for the under 23s. And yet here he is, 90th minute, came on for Gwion Edwards. And he's now played for the Ipswich Town first team.
That's his history, yeah.
So what is he, a striker? Is he a
midfielder.
Midfielder. We don't know anything about him.
He's box to box.
But apparently. Yeah. There was no evidence of his box to box ability.
Did he touch the ball?
No. But he's of Zimbabwean descent.
Okay.
And that is it.
But Roscoe, obviously you know a lot of the young kids. You've covered a lot of the youth teams. They'll get onto you for pitches and stuff.
Yeah.
So for you to say you've not even heard of him is quite something.
Because, yeah, he hasn't played for under-18s and, you know, never heard of his name before. So, like, Liam Gibbs, who came on, he's, like, the eighth youngest player to play for a town in history.
Okay.
He's 16 years and...
331 days.
That memory. So I've heard of him before. Like, he played in the previous Youth Cup game. He's played regularly for the under-18s. He'd just become a scholar for the club, so I've heard of him before, but this guy's like,
lot of people were in that boat. It wasn't just it wasn't just us that hadn't heard of him. Yeah. A lot of people who know the academy significantly were very, very surprised.
Yeah. Where's that come from then? What, that's just bizarre, isn't it?
For me, this could be just me just speculating some stuff here, but maybe he's a very highly rated player, and maybe because he hasn't got a scholarship yet, and he's got other player, you know, other teams looking in him, so maybe Lambert's going, "Oh, we want to keep this lad. Let's give him a chance to play with the first team."
Just a gentle little nudge,
nudge, you know.
No, it's not impossible at all.
So
you will get chances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably won't though.
Aside from Tawinda, what else did we make of the game? What? Because I was away. I've followed very little of what's going on.
Why weren't you following this game?
It's an obvious one to follow. I did see, however, that Mr. Ed Sheeran was there. Of course he was. So he's a big fan of the Eiffel. What's that say, Ross? It says load this space. Is that something we should be concerned about?
Not us. Well, this is still recording.
Good.
But they
can we reveal that this is our second take now?
Yes. Yeah. We did what I can only describe as a straight fire intro, and just about to play Guess Who. Ross's face went ashen, as it often does, and he said, "Oh, it's not recording."
Yeah. There's no way I could have played Guess Who and pretended I didn't know the answer. So I'm glad we spotted it.
I'm pleased we got at that point. We do appear to be recording so far. Anyway, that's good.
It's 14 minutes in.
14 minutes.
Hope you're enjoying.
14 minutes of radio gold. So what else did we learn from the game? Apart from Ed Sheeran, loves the Elf Trophy, and Tawinda.
Thomas Holy got lobbed.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement in itself, isn't it?
6'7" and he's getting lobbed.
6 foot nine, please.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Give him two more. You've stolen 2 inches from the man.
2 inches is important as well.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Another two, we need to get that out.
Exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't awful. It just wasn't. It was a bit just bleh.
Yeah.
Some fairly decent performances in there. Ben Fellaini, I thought, did okay up front on his own. It's a bit of a thankless task when Ipswich strikers are asked to play up top on their own at the moment, and it was again. He did okay, considering he's been out for a year with an Achilles injury. He went straight off on international duty to Australia, playing in China for Australia under 23s. But he did okay. He still needs to bulk a little physically, but his touch is good. He he had a couple of efforts, so that's a positive, I guess. It's just a bit ugh, would be my assessment of it.
How many people were actually there?
So 2,700 Ipswich,
yeah,
and then another 2,000. So Ipswich did outnumber Colchester in the end.
Really?
There was some traffic beforehand. Yeah. A lorry went over, I think. So
a cop dock.
Cop dock. So there's a lot of people, you know, supporters coming in late. Even Steve Waller. I had to be Steve Waller for 12 minutes because he didn't turn up because he was, of course, stuck in traffic.
What do you mean you had to be Steve Waller? You
12 mean minutes of photos.
You were ready to take all the photos.
Basically do live action pictures. Because Hutchie would message me, went, you're going to have to be Steve.
Yeah.
And when I saw Steve chug along, I went, all right, Steve, take over, mate.
I'm back to being Ross now.
Yeah, Steve basically had to, because he had to walk through the dugouts during the game.
Nice.
And he got some odd looks from Paul Lambert and his staff as this man with a little trailer sort of trundled through with his box of kit.
Has he got a little trailer? I didn't know.
Warren's got one. Warren Page, our other photographer's got one as well. He's got a little trailer. Ross has got because Ross is a kid of the 2000s, he's got a rucksack, got a bag. But these more veteran photographers, they've got trailers.
They sit on them.
He had to trundle that through the dugout in front of Paul Lambert during the game, which he got a funny little look.
Amazing. Any other notes before we move on? How do we feel about, do we care? I mean, obviously you care because you haven't got to go to Exeter or Bristol. But Peterborough away in the next round?
I'm absolutely delighted
that
happened. Absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
I could not be more excited about going to Peterborough. I've never enjoyed going to Peterborough, but now it's kind of a safe haven, an oasis.
Yeah.
I get, for anybody in the Southwest supporters group who have pointed out that they would have loved a game at Exeter or Bristol Rovers, I admire the growth of that group and I admire your passion for following Ipswich Town. But I didn't want to go to Exeter and I don't think the players and the manager did either. So.
No.
You had Exeter in, you know, Carabao Cup last year, so, you know, have that. And you've got Bristol Rovers away next year at some point. So.
Yeah.
When is the second round tie?
First week of December.
Is it? Something to look forward to.
Yeah,
not
long.
The week before the live pod, of course.
Ooh. Yeah, just to spice things up a little bit.
We are now under the month on the live pod, boys. Oh. It was a month on Saturday. So, if you are coming, we've got a fantastic show ready for you.
Ready?
Planned.
Written down.
We have notes.
Notes.
We know roughly what we're going to do.
Running order.
It's going to be great. I would say be prepared for a lot of audience participation. It's your show as much as it is ours, and so you'll basically be able to take part in what would be a normal podcast. You can get involved.
And if you're sitting in the front two rows, you might get wet.
Yeah, okay, that's not... Is this a new idea that you've added in?
Yes, I'll tell you after.
That sounds like
wet
a threat.
Wet t-shirt competition.
Oh. Hey! Sounds like a threat, that. Boys, at the weekend there was no Ipswich Town game. Senior Ipswich Town game. But Hutcher, you were still at Portman Road, as were you, Roscoe.
Yes.
For the FA Youth Cup, the Baby Blues, Ipswich Town's youth, for whom Tawinda has not yet played. He only does the first team, mate. they won through to the next round of the FA Youth Cup, the third round. They beat Exeter?
Correct.
Yes. Excellent. You did tell me that beforehand, but we've since failed to record the opening of one show, so I'm impressed I remembered that. What was the score?
2-1.
2-1. What do we make of it? Exciting times?
First half, completely dominant. Exeter had very little of it. Ipswich, wave after wave of attack without hugely creating chances, but kind of always in control, always on top. And then second half, they let Exeter back into it a little bit, conceded a goal, and the goalkeeper, Jake Alley, he's a big boy as well, isn't he? He's not quite Thomas Holy big, but he's a...
For a 17-year-old.
He's a big lad. Made two really good saves to avoid what we think would have been extra time.
You're not sure?
it would have been extra time and avoided that. So they ultimately got through and probably ultimately deserved it too.
Mm.
But not without its nervy moments. Yes.
How many people were there? Did they get a decent crowd with no town?
I was actually surprised there wasn't as many people there.
I've got absolutely no idea how many people were there because I was in the top tier basically on my own with Brenner Woolley.
Okay.
So I couldn't see anybody.
Yeah, that wasn't as big a turnout as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be at least, because they just opened the base where the dugouts are, just that sort of the co-op stand, and yeah, I was actually surprised there wasn't as many people there.
Okay,
but maybe because it's Saturday, maybe it's cold, people went
a few hundred, do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe 200-300 maybe.
Okay,
it's not too bad, but it's not great though.
Anyone impress you, Ross, from the touchlines?
Liam Gibbs again.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got two beasts of strikers, Tyrese Simpson and Colin Appong. They're just massive for their age.
Like, Tyrese is the ex-rugby player, isn't he?
Basically, yeah. They're just massive.
Yeah.
So, Exeter, of course, they've got some young kids. So, of course, they just got out-muscled. Tyrese Simpson, he can't really finish, though. I'll have to admit that. I'm just being brutally honest here. He had a few one-on-ones and he just didn't bury it. He just shot right at the keeper.
There was one particularly in the second half. It was quite good work from him to steal inside, but then a more composed finish.
Yeah, like once again, he's strong. On the ball, he's okay, but just shooting-wise, he hasn't got his shooting boots at the moment. So,
can we call him a young Emil Heskey then?
We can.
Yes.
Although Emil Heskey, of course, when he was young, 18 years old, he was scoring left, right and centre for Leicester.
16. So I think Tyrese's 17 now. So okay. He has made his debut.
Yeah.
Like, briefly.
And tell us a bit more about Liam Gibbs. What position is he?
Midfielder.
For those who have not seen him, yeah.
Midfielder as well.
What is he, like a big, powerful midfielder or a short and diminutive skill
set? He played number 10 in this one, didn't he?
Yeah. He's not small, he's not big, but he's just...
Middle-sized.
Yeah, middle-sized for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He's nifty.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Has he got a wand of a left foot?
I don't know.
I think he's right-footed.
Yeah. Is he? But what I'm trying to get at, is he one of these box-to-box kind of all-action Flynn Down styles, or is he a bit more of a creative style?
Creative, I'd say. He gets involved, but...
If you're likening him to a first-team player, I'd probably liken him to John Nolan.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
Not bad at all. Boys, we've talked about football for a few minutes now. I enjoyed last week, by the way, before we get on to Mark's big question for this week, your answers, especially the revelation that you, young man, Roscoe, were once an apprentice chef.
Outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why have you never mentioned this?
It's something that I'd put in the past.
And as I understand it, your reason for not pursuing said career was because you had to stand up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know...
I should have known that, really. My uncle's a chef, so...
You should have known you have to stand up while you're chefing.
What is your issue with standing up?
I was just young when I was
gets tired,
14 then, so I was like, just a 14-year-old kid, like, I don't want to be standing up. This is a future career, but...
You probably would have been have to have been up sort of pre-6:30.
Quite a lot. My uncle sort of, because he inspired me to become a chef, because I just, I enjoyed, you know, his food and stuff, and then I want to cook.
Yeah.
And he also, like, before me, like, going for this apprenticeship, he went, long hours, mate. You know,
low pay. It's basically like being a journalist.
Basically,
yeah.
So it's sort of, no, don't worry, I'll be fine. Yeah. And a couple weeks into it, I was like, maybe not. But once again, I was only doing, in a restaurant at the college, doing stuff there. Like once again, it was only like 8 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that till like 12, and I could go home. But
yeah,
in the long term, I would have had to.
You had to have done more than 4 hours work a day,
basically. So yeah, that's why I'll become a chef.
So you were out.
Yeah.
You've got the heritage, obviously you're part Italian, so you've got the Italian side of the creative cooking,
but
early mornings.
I'm lazy.
And well, not lazy, but...
I've got a good palate though, I don't mind trying new foods here and there and stuff like that.
Here and there.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Ross, hit the. Let's hit the Mark's Big Question jingle for this week.
Big question.
I've had a couple more while we've been away.
Ah.
I've been away. Roscoe, pick a number between 1 and 36.
23, my age.
23.
Good age.
Yeah.
Who is, and I've written this, the baddest ass TV/film character of all times? So someone who's a straight gangster. The obvious answer for me...
Arthur.
Who?
Arthur from Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah. The Peaky Blinders.
Of course, Tommy Shelby as well.
Tommy Shelby's pretty hardcore. I would go for Geezer from The Wire, whose name escapes me. Omar, the man who robs drug dealers. Anyone seen The Wire in here?
Yes.
I haven't actually. I own it, but haven't watched it.
Famously,
yet.
You come at the king, you best not miss. One of the best lines in TV history. Yeah. I'd also actually put in there, having just started watching it and got through the series quite quickly, is Eleven from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
The girl who originally was a skinhead and can move things with her mind.
And a nosebleeds after.
And a nosebleeds after. She's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
I very much like her as a character. Hutchie, I'm reckoning you've probably got someone left wing you're going to throw into the mix.
Yeah, and I think actually, if I was picking my ultimate superhero, this would be it as well.
Yeah.
Penny Crayon. Remember her?
This is not the first time you've mentioned Penny Crayon on
Isn't
the podcast.
It?
Well, this is the I've never seen Penny Crayon, but
you should. She's bad.
Yeah.
She can just do what she wants. She can draw stuff, it comes to life, she can use it. If she wanted to harness those powers for evil,
yeah,
she could.
Okay.
But she knows.
What does she draw?
Normally stuff like, I don't know, if she needed a trumpet, she'd draw it and it would be available to her, but she could harness those powers for evil. Actual badass people.
I think Luthor.
Yes.
Yeah, he's really gone through a lot of stuff.
He's pretty hardcore, isn't
he?
Yeah. Although the last series I was disappointed with, I've got to say. Yeah.
Is that it now? Is that finished?
No, I think they're still going to do another one. Yeah, I kind of hope they don't, because it just it ended in such a just predictable, kind of lame way.
Yeah.
How did it end again? Was he back in the place where the guy fell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, without wanting to go on about it too much, there was a brilliant bit where they're in the House of Horrors, do you remember?
Yeah.
With the bodies all posed and stuff, which for me was where it should have ended.
Yeah.
But then it had this superfluous bit with him and Alice, and it was just ridiculous.
She's pretty bad, Alice.
Yeah, she's pretty hardcore, isn't she? Yeah.
She's great.
I'll tell you the other one as well. He's V&L in Killing Eve. Have you watched that?
No.
She's the female assassin, Jodie Comer. She's fantastic. She will kill you and look good doing it.
Yeah. Just any assassins or just killers.
They're generally bad, aren't
They're
they?
They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Just if we had the Penny Crayon power, what would you draw right now?
Right now?
Right now.
I would draw a really nice artisan roll.
Oh, okay.
Full of bacon.
Oh, lovely.
For all of us.
That'd be very nice.
I'd probably draw a really big one that we can cut and share.
Ooh. Lovely. Roscoe, you're drawing a bed, I'd imagine.
No, I'm saying food because I am hungry, so full English breakfast, just, you know.
Full English?
Yeah. Just.
Wowzers. What would I draw? Probably a dog or something. Miss my dog. Boys.
You've been with him for a week.
I know, but, you know, that's just, I got used to it now.
Did he have a good time?
He had a great time. He had DOMS.
Did he?
After some of the walks, because they were quite long for his little legs.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Papa DOMS.
No, not Papa DOMS.
No,
he had DOMS.
Yeah.
Delayed onset muscle soreness, for those of you out there who don't know. So some of the evenings he was moving quite slowly, all that kind of stuff.
Aww.
But it was good.
Is he always ready to go the next morning after that?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, it's pretty impressive with dogs. They'll put up with a lot, and basically they'll just do anything they can to try and please you, even though he clearly didn't really fancy going on another walk. Yeah. Boys, that was enough of Mark's big question this week. I don't think we came to a solid conclusion, but there were quite a few names
thrown
into the
pot.
Certainly Penny Crayon. Should she use her talents for evil?
I think she's got it in her.
Yeah.
I think she's got that evil streak in her.
Maybe
but
she bring
come
it back and do like a
reboot. Like
a hardcore
dark.
Penny Crayon draws an Uzi.
Yeah, and just takes it into a packed shopping centre.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad times. Boys, let's get back into football now. Enough nonsense. Bartosz Białkowski. Not currently an Ipswich Town player. Currently playing for Millwall. Doing quite well. So I believe.
Yep.
Over the weekend, or indeed the back end of last week, I can't remember, because you only sent me the link yesterday. Back end of last week. The Millwall manager said he's preparing, potentially, for Bart to leave in January, to be sold by Town. And you then did a poll on said subject, by which the winner was Town fans would like to see him sold in January, which is a bit
pretty
surprise.
Tight though. The last time I looked at that, it was all three of the options were quite well supported on that.
So, what do we think? Is that something that Town can do? They can recall him, can they? Because he's there for
Yes.
So they can recall him in January.
Yeah.
So they could recall him to play if they wanted to.
Do whatever they wanted.
Or sell him. So what do we think?
This kind of sparked a wider debate on what Bart's Ipswich future is, whether this is a loan for a year and then he comes back to play in the Championship, or whether his Ipswich Town career is over. And I think it's that split people as well. For me, I don't see that going back to him next year, hopefully back in the Championship, as being a sensible move for all parties. So, but I also don't think that, unless you've got a kind of firm offer for him, which I'm not convinced will come from anywhere other than Millwall in January, I don't see the sense in recalling him either. So for me, I'd leave him on loan at Millwall and then see what happens in the summer.
Mm. Are we going to get a sale? In terms of selling him, are we going to go through the same kerfuffle with his knee again? Because, I mean, he has a knee issue in that he got an old injury, but it obviously doesn't bother him because he's been playing
week in, week out. He's I think he missed two games as an Ipswich player due to injury.
Yeah.
And it's a cartilage injury in his knee, which dates back to his time at Southampton. So it's a long old time ago, and there was never an issue with it. It was never something that bothered him. It clearly hasn't bothered him at Millwall. He's played regularly for them since I think he came on at half time on the opening day, because the other goalkeeper they signed did his cruciate himself. So Bart's played every game. He's been great. He's been nominated for the Safe Hands Award.
What an award.
For some good saves. I could see the Millwall move becoming permanent. Rowett's only been there a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. But I think that's more likely to be in the summer, personally.
So you're saying leave him be?
Yeah.
And then what, sell him in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. Unless you get somebody come in January with a brilliant offer, but I'm not convinced that will happen, because in terms of teams looking for first choice goalkeepers, that isn't something that normally happens in a January transfer window. And to get the money that Ipswich think they'll want to get for him, you need someone to be buying him to play, and I don't think anywhere other than Millwall is going to come in and buy him in January. We'll see though, I might be wrong.
So bonkers bid aside, you can't see him coming back to town and playing at some point?
It's not impossible.
No.
But for me, I just think he needed a fresh start. He's clearly got it at Millwall. He's playing well. He's enjoying himself in a team that he's enjoying playing in. For him, is there any sense in coming back? He'll come back having missed out on a year of positivity for Ipswich, where they hopefully have won promotion with two goalkeepers that have both done okay so far as well. Will Norris, that's a separate issue, and Thomas Holy. Is that going to be a positive thing for him, sort of coming back and having not been part of all of that and being asked to be first choice again? And you've got to remember as well, he didn't exactly do it for Paul Lambert either.
No.
So I just think all in all, he's a really, really good goalkeeper. He'll be really fondly remembered by everyone at Ipswich, but I just think the time for him has gone. Ipswich have sorted themselves out. He can have a fresh start at Millwall, and hopefully that becomes permanent for him. That's my thoughts on it anyway.
Roscoe, you look like a baby Bart. You've got the kind of hair and beard. You haven't got the height and physical stature.
Yeah.
But what would you do with your dad?
Oh, I had a lot of dads in 2014, because that's when they had that trend of loads of beards, didn't they?
Yeah. And
all of them had them. I'll say move on.
Yeah.
I think for the sake of him and for us, just move on. I'll sell him in January if a bid comes in. Because then Lambert's got a bit of money to maybe...
What's a reasonable bid? I mean, what would you get now?
That's the problem now.
It's difficult, isn't it? He's contracted for another season after this one, plus Ipswich have an option on top of that. So there's no kind of contract running down issue to lessen it there. I think Ipswich could realistically go back to the offer that they had agreed and all was signed, or not signed, but all was agreed and ready to go with Millwall in the summer, in July, for I think there's 900 grand. That would be a starting point for me. I'm not convinced they'd get much more.
So you go back and say, you've tried the goods, you've had a test drive,
exactly.
His knee's fine, give us 900k. Round it up to a million.
Yeah.
now you've messed
tax,
us around.
A bit of tax on there. Yeah, I think that would be the starting point.
Okay, cool. The greatest thing in radio is about to happen. It's a friendly, again, because Stewpot's not here. And I seem to be able to win friendly, so here we go.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike, brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
There you go. Apparently I've been nominated for an award, apparently.
What award?
Best radio show quiz on Earth.
Of all times?
Yeah, of all times.
Can you give it a bit more energy, though?
Okay. We're back.
Yes.
We're back. Like we never left. Strike. Now, I've had a thought.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good.
But danger.
You brought Guess Who out at
I
the
did.
Beginning of the show. I'm thinking about renaming Who Am I to Guess Who.
Oh.
Think that's good?
So it's still the same game.
It's the same game, but just a different name. Just Guess Who just sounds more...
Yeah.
Who Am I is just...
Well, you're the host, mate. You do what you want.
Yeah, but I just thought I'll put it to the floor.
If it makes you happy, it makes me happy. You're the host.
I'm with Mark on that one.
You are the host of the strikes. Do what you want.
Okay. Who Am I? So we've got Blackpool.
We're calling it Guess Who.
Jesus Christ. Amazing. So we've just decided it's going to be called Guess Who, and then you title it Who Am I straight away. This is why it's award-winning, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Okay, Guess Who. It's Lincoln with Ipswich and Blackpool.
Who?
Ipswich and Blackpool.
Ipswich.
I thought you said Lincoln with Ipswich and Blackpool.
Linking with...
It's Lincoln with Ipswich and Blackpool, okay.
Yeah. So he played for both these teams. So, clue one. He made over 100 appearances for Ipswich. Joined the club in 2008 from Plymouth.
No.
No?
Hutchie already knows.
I'll have one more question.
Okay.
He's sitting there with a smug look upon his face.
He left the club in 2011 to join Portsmouth.
This sound indicates that I know the answer. It's David Norris.
Yeah, it's David Norris. David Norris, goddamn.
Yeah. That is Stewie. He's done a piece with David Norris in the newest edition of Kings of Anglia. So.
Nice tease, Ross.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mike
Slick.
Bacon will be very, very pleased with you.
Out now.
There you go. Time flashback. So, I've done this as well on the script. 30 years ago!
How have you written that on the script?
Just in capitals, obviously.
Yeah, exclamation marks and stuff. David Gregory, remember him?
No.
Saw David on Tuesday.
Yeah,
he's
Colchester.
He's the Colchester media manager.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he scored a hat-trick as Town beat Watford 4-1 in the full Members' Cup. Remember that?
I remember it well.
Second round. Town reached a 7th semi-final that year, but who won the whole damn thing in the end? Chelsea? Nottingham Forest or Crystal Palace?
So you're asking us who won the full Members' Cup 30 years ago. What's the full Members' Cup? Is that like the...
Didn't they... It's not about like clubs who are banned being European competition or something. I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We're Googling.
Not sure.
Okay, so full Members' Cup 30 years ago was won by, I reckon, Chelsea.
Okay.
No, Crystal Palace won that.
Chelsea?
Yes,
oh,
come on.
Wow, 1-1.
Get in.
There you go.
Game on.
Just going to turn your mic down a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, I got a bit excited.
In 2000, Town won 1-0 at Coventry in the Premier League, thanks to a late winner. But who scored it? Fabian Wilnes, Mark Venus, or Marcus Stewart?
Year 2000.
Yeah. Late winner. Who loves a late
Hutchie,
winner?
Do you want to go first?
No.
You don't want to go first?
Because I know the answer.
Oh, of course you do.
You should know. This must have been your peak years of
watching. So who was it? Fabian Wilnes, Marcus Stewart, or who?
Mark Venus.
Mark Venus.
Late winner.
I'm saying Marcus Stewart.
Okay.
Fabian Wilnes.
It is. Fabian Wilnes.
It's a bit unfair that Hodgie actually knows the answer to this.
Is it unfair? It's just knowledge,
it's
mate.
Just literally the name of the game.
Basically.
Yeah.
He's probably going to know this one as well, but you should hopefully know this one as well. So this week is the yearly celebration of Town's 1-0 win over Inter Milan in 2001.
Yes.
Thanks to Alan Armstrong's header.
Yeah.
But who set up his goal?
Oh.
You thought I was going to say who scored a goal.
Yeah, I was hoping.
Yeah. But no. So yeah, who set up his goal? Herman Arroyderson, Jermaine Wright, or Jamie Clappen?
Again, obviously you know this, don't you, Hutchie? You were probably there.
I was, yeah.
Of course you were. Jamie Clappen.
Correct.
Yeah, get in.
3-2.
3-2.
Good old Danny Haynes. He's now on Instagram. Good old Danny. He scored twice.
So we get extra information as well. That's why I love the strike.
It should be on the BBC, really.
It should be. It hits all of their thing. Informative. Yeah.
Entertaining.
Edutainment.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia, yeah.
But yeah, Danny Haynes scored twice as Town beat the old enemy.
Yes.
3-1 at Portman Road in 2006. But who scored the other goal? Anna Lee, Sylvain Leswinski. Sylvain Leswinski.
There's a G in there, isn't there?
Yeah, Legwinski.
Leswinski.
Lewinski. It's Monica Lewinski.
She played for Town.
Yeah. Oh, Alex Bruce.
What year was it?
2006. So all these players did play in the game. So.
Yeah. I think it was Alan Lee.
Okay.
Monica Lewinski.
It is.
Monica Lewinsky scored for Town.
Yeah, he did.
See, I'm learning new things all the time.
Not score a goal.
4-2.
Yes. And so, finally, just for I lost. As we're playing Blackpool this Saturday, Freddie Sears scored twice as Town beat Blackpool 3-2 at Portland Road in the last meeting between the two sides in 2015. But who scored the other goal? Christoph Berra, Toy Smith, or Luke Chambers?
Berra.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What game? What?
Beat Blackpool 3-2.
Sorry, that was really loud. Apologies, you're listening in the car and you've just veered off the road. My mic it seems to be a lot more powerful than I'm used to this week. Obviously, it was Christoph Berra, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Of course it was.
5-3. So, friendly win for Hutch.
Another win.
There you go.
You're an unstoppable winning machine.
Born winner.
You're the San Francisco 49ers of this,
hey.
Of this game.
Another good win for them.
Absolutely,
yesterday.
Mate. Had to come back though, didn't we?
Yep.
There you go.
See, the Ravens are...
They're balling.
Absolutely balling out. Lamar Jackson. Mm. Sensational. Anyway, that's the end of the strike for this week.
Yes.
Have we got an outro yet?
No, it's just... We're done.
You just fade out the...
Just done there. There you go.
There you go. Hope you enjoyed that at home. And I'm sorry if I burst anyone's eardrums with my exclamations. I do get quite excited.
I may have been loud too.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Hopefully you're still listening. Hutchie.
Heath.
Let me talk you through this. At the weekend, the senior Town team weren't playing. We had a little meeting before I went away. And we said, how are we going to fill that then? And you said, let's do the power rankings.
Yep.
This is your concept. It is quite an Americanised concept.
It's very Americanised.
But they do analysis and comment better than anyone else. So you've now launched the Ipswich Town power rankings. Just explain the concept and who tops said power rankings.
So, the power rankings are an ordered list, in this case, of all 25 players that have played in the league for Ipswich Town this season. And the power rankings is not simply a list of who's the best player, who has the most ability. It's about vibe, it's about form, it's about feeling, it's about future arc. It's a combination of all of those things.
Momentum.
There's no stats, nothing.
It's just feel.
It's feel.
Yeah.
And it's how I feel.
Yeah.
Essentially. And yeah, the list is born.
So we launched it this week. It's going to be a weekly thing.
Yep.
Is it?
On-air production meeting, I think it might be better, maybe not quite weekly, because you might see a bit more fluctuation.
Good
point. We'll discuss that away from
the microphone. Take this away. Yeah. Okay. So who was top of the inaugural Ipswich Town Power Rankings?
Flynn Downs.
Interesting.
Number one.
Flynnadine to Downs.
Yep.
This is where you'd play Mama Said Knock You Out, Ross.
Oh. Is it too late to do
it? I think it is too late.
It's a bit too late now.
I think the moment's gone. Come on,
man. Yeah. We're going to play it in the background for the whole of this power rankings, because why not? He's top.
He's top.
That's why I did it.
So why is young Flynn, as if we needed an explanation, why is he top of the power rankings?
I know I've just said that ability isn't necessary. It's not the be all and end all. It obviously comes into it. I think he's had a great start to the season. Particularly impressive how he's bounced back from this particular moment that we're reminiscing about with our musical background about his early season, his pre-season headbutt, which had you a bit concerned going into the season. I think you kind of think, oh no, this is not good. It's a trait he needs to learn to handle, and he has exceptionally well. They missed him in terms of the two defeats in the league. He played in neither, and while he certainly wasn't the only reason they lost, it's a contributing factor certainly. And that just showed his overall input has been the most, I think.
Okay,
someone had to be top.
Absolutely. Who was second for those of you who have not seen it?
Everybody's seen it. If you haven't seen it, please go.
What are you doing exactly?
I put Luke Chambers second.
Okay,
because.
Four?
But just for similar reasons, really, in terms of his first involvement of the season, ended with a bit of a disaster, mistake against Sunderland that that cost Ipswich 2 points that day. But I think he's been brilliant for Ipswich. Whatever you think about him, I don't think you can't deny that he's been really important to what they're doing. Mm. He's been consistent. Particularly of late, he's just played really, really well. He's the leader. Lambert's spoken about him not being able to play in every game, but I think it's really important that he does. Really big part of the team.
And just to round out the top three, who was third?
I think James Norwood was third.
Have you forgotten?
Yeah, I've got it up on my phone. James Norwood was... Let's have a look.
I was going to hope it was going to be Kane.
No.
Oh.
James Norwood was third.
Ah, okay.
Roscoe had thought ahead and teed up Big Daddy Kane.
You can put his music on if you want. He's sixth.
What? Stormzy?
Yeah, James Norwood.
What?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah, let's roll with it.
How's this linked to James Norwood?
I don't know.
Is he a big fan of Stormzy?
I'm not sure. I'll ask him next time we see him.
Yeah. That's an important question. So Norwood was third?
Yeah, Norwood was third.
Norwood was third. And obviously the question that everyone will now be screaming at their whoever you're playing this, their phone or their speakers in the car, and you've not seen it, who was bottom?
Toto.
Someone had to be at the bottom of this list.
And why is Big Totes at the bottom?
Toto's bottom of this list because his season has been completely thrown off by a hamstring injury that he suffered in pre-season, which I don't think the medical staff were overly impressed by.
No.
But as a result of that, he wasn't in the team on the opening day, which may well have prompted Ipswich to go and sign James Wilson, which has put him even further behind in the pecking order. And then when he has come back, he'd have started that game on opening day and he'd had his chance then to stake his claim. We knew Luke Chambers would come back in against Sunderland and the opening day was all about, would it be Wolfenden or would it be Wilson that dropped out? It could have been Wolfenden or Toto, and Toto could still be playing now. But he was injured, couldn't play, and when he has come back, you can't look away from the fact he's conceded two penalties. In his one league appearance, he was subbed at half-time. Sorry.
Can I just confirm, Toto was bottom. Was Janoi Dinashian in this?
Yeah.
Where's he?
23rd.
Okay. Who's 24th?
Jordan Roberts.
Ah, of course.
He scored. Top goal scorer, isn't he, in the EFL Trophy?
In the Elf Trophy,
he's played
yeah.
1 minute of league football last season.
Harsh, actually. Okay.
And that minute is the only reason he's on the list. We could have had, if he hadn't played that 1 minute against Sunderland, we could have had a scenario where the leading scorer in the Elf Trophy wasn't even on the power rankings.
Which would have been a scandal akin to the Prince Andrew thing.
Yeah. Very similar levels.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you think we're going to get any comeback off the Royal Family for how we open this? Mocking.
Yeah, I'm going to be checking my brake cables, put it like that.
Yeah.
When I'm driving my car for the next few days.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was that just treason I committed, by the way?
We could all be going in the Tower of London.
Yeah, we might be in the Tower of London by this evening.
We'll take our mics with us. We'll record. That'll be a really good episode.
What, live on location from the Tower of London in the stocks? Yeah. That'd be good. That'd be awesome. That would wake you up, Roscoe.
Yes.
And you have to stand for that as well.
Oh, no.
You can just hang.
Oh, well.
From if you want. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on from execution stuff.
Yeah, that's the power rankings. Yeah. Plenty more in between the top
from
three.
Power rankings that literally being executed. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, there's plenty more in there. There's going to be however big the increment. I'll maybe talk to Ross about increments. He knows how often things should be done in twos, fours, sixes,
or eights. I noticed last week.
Yeah,
I switched. There's no numbers this week.
So very good.
Just players or strong. Teams.
Just strong. Words. So, yeah, we're going to do that again. And it'll get more interesting now. You have to start with the baseline. And then we can chart some ups, downs,
exactly.
Movement. There's some big movers. Some people I'm buying stock from. I'm going to buy some Will Keane stock.
Oh,
it's very low. I've got a feeling that Will Keane is going to, by the time the season's over, there's going to be a period where we look back and think, goodness me, it's good that Ipswich signed Will Keane. He's going to have his moment.
Because it's certainly not occurred so far.
It has not, and that is why he is quite low down in the current power rankings. And obviously I remember where he was, and that is 21st.
Come on, Will.
The power rankings.
Step your game up.
I have put at the end of his section a potential riser.
So I think what is important with the power rankings is that all of you who have read it, get in touch with Hutch and tell him just what you think of said rankings and who should be where. because then we can have a bit of back and
forth. The big criticism I've had is Luke Wolfenden's position.
Where was he?
I put him seventh.
I suppose he's been in and out, though, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's
not, and that's why.
Yeah.
But I fully anticipate the next time we do these that he'll have cracked the top five, is my thinking.
We will see. It is now time for Mailbag.
Mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy and Ross to dip into the mailbag.
I note last week there was a trio with the mailbag, and Roscoe did the do at the end.
A little bit of a pause because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was like, okay.
I liked it. I thought it was a strong effort last week.
I think you should sing it one time.
Mm. No professionals, mate.
Why are you wearing a scarf?
It's cold in here.
Okay.
Although I should just point out that as I look down and say it's cold in here, Hutchie is currently sans shoes.
Mm. So might take my socks off in a minute.
Now Roscoe's stripping. That's not the way it works. I'll take my scarf off if you agree to put your shirt back on.
Okay.
Right then, straight in, Nigel G.
Friend of the show.
Number nine.
He's revelling in the status.
Nigel, I haven't had a chance to say since you were elevated to the pantheon of the KOA greats. Congratulations, welcome to the club. Fully deserved, my friend, the man with the big fish.
Before we start mailbag, can I just remind you that you did listen to the last one, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Just remember,
the pin is banned
for 1 week.
And as far as I can see, he has adhered to that.
Okay. It's a one-game suspension.
That was
one,
the right move, by the way.
One-game ban.
Yeah.
These might be handed out a bit more
often. I quite like
that,
because his head's gone. Banning Yorkshire puddings, I mean, I thought a one-game ban was pretty charitable.
You know, when people get sent off, it does sometimes go to the
appeal
panel
process,
and they might extend it. He didn't appeal, which means he gets away with it. If he had appealed, that probably would have been extended to a three-game ban.
Crazy talk. Anyway. Nigel G, who's not banned, very much
definitely
not banned.
Not banned.
He says, I had a decent pie at Colu. What's the best football pie you've eaten? First of all.
Football pie. Nigel, did you follow my recommendation to go to the Colu Legends Lounge before the game and get a pie and a mash for £4.50? Because it was really good.
He might have done.
If it's the same one, that was up there with the best pie at football. Up there with Everton, who do like a thing called a scouse pie, which is like a potato-topped hot pot, essentially.
Okay.
Very, very nice.
Scouse pie.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Roscoe, you're a connoisseur of food. Where's the best pie you've had?
Rochdale this season was all right.
Mate, that was just a pie in a bag. You need to live a bit more.
It's not a glowing recommendation. It was all right.
Well, normally when I turn up to the press bit, it's normally all gone because I turn up a bit late.
Because you're late.
Yeah, it's all gone. So.
And then also Nigel's concerned about you, Ross. He says, does Ross, with the emoji lightning strike, good score.
Good.
Need some gloves for Christmas. It looked like he was suffering with his hands at Colu, and I don't want him to get chilblains to add to his other afflictions. The hashtag honey badger plus emojis never looks cold. Lambert's fueled by anger. That's why.
And he's Scottish.
Scotland's
very cold.
So I'd imagine he doesn't even wear coats.
Yeah.
But Ross, I think we've mentioned it before on this podcast, but Ross has the most ridiculous gloves known to mankind.
They're tiny.
They are tiny little baby's gloves, which basically when you put them on, because they're so small, they go transparent. Because they stretch. We've got to actually tweet out a picture of your gloves because they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
So when are you going to get yourself some proper gloves, my friend?
I didn't wear them on Tuesday night, so I was just
hardcore.
Is it a bit hard to wear gloves and still click your camera button?
Basically.
Stuff?
Do you have like a hand warmer situation or anything like that?
No, I'm just hardcore on my side.
You also lose your gloves, don't you?
Yeah, I lose my gloves as well.
I would have to say that if anyone asked me a word to sum up Ross, hardcore would not be high on the list.
No, I'm always moaning that I'm cold.
So. Yeah. Chris Thorogood. Oh, controversial. Oh, this got asked last week, which you swerved. So let's take it now, otherwise we'll get accused of whitewashing. Why do Andy and Stu not ever drive poor Ross to away games? What's wrong with the poor boy? Does he smell? Is he annoying? Or is it a genuine work reason? I can confirm that he neither smells nor is particularly annoying. Sometimes he is annoying.
Ross smells good, actually.
He does smell good, yeah.
Thank you.
So essentially the reason is, I don't know if you want to take this, actually, or should I explain?
I think you should take this one.
So basically the reason is space. The boys have a driver, as you well know, everyone listening to this show, the Scarlet Lady, Barry, ferries them up and down the country. So that's Barry plus the two boys, plus the photographer, Warren, usually, which means there's not enough space in said vehicle for Ross to also go along. You might say it's a Range Rover, there's a middle seat, but no.
There's a boot.
There's a boot, yeah. There's a roof.
Yeah. That's illegal.
Yeah. So that's basically it, isn't it, Hutch? There's not enough space for poor Roscoe, so he has to make his own way. And he's now got a network of drivers.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
I met Liam at the weekend. Liam from Crewe.
Yeah.
Lovely guy.
Ross, people are very interested in you this week.
Oh, that's nice.
Peter Dwerryhouse, what is Ross's favourite picture that he's taken whilst snapping Ipswich? And also, what is Hutchie's favourite piece you've ever written? I assume, talking about Ipswich. Power rankings, obviously.
Yeah.
Roscoe, what's the favourite picture you've ever taken so far in your short, young...
Does it have to be football-related?
Well, he said while snapping Ipswich. Why don't you give us one?
Well, in a when I took a picture for the Ipswich Town women's team, when we went to Denham United, this was 2 years ago, and next door to the ground is loads of horses. And the game was very boring, so I just went and just took some pictures of horses, and I was very pleased with one of the pictures I took.
Why were you so pleased with it?
Just came out very nice. You know, it looked very nice, and someone actually bought the picture. So
it was a good-looking horse.
Yeah,
someone bought it.
Someone bought the picture. Yeah.
Was it the owner of the horse?
No.
You should try and sell it to them as well.
Yeah. But in terms of football, probably Dobre. There's a picture of Dobre I got in Germany.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Fire in the background.
Oh, that's just, right. Yeah. Firing down the wing. Yeah. That was good.
Not real fire.
No, it wasn't real fire.
It wasn't real fire. But it was really good. It looked like he was like burning through the sky.
Basically. But yeah, that's 100 degrees. There, I think. Yeah. There you go.
Outstanding. My favourite picture you've ever taken of Ipswich Town related was the big scrap the ladies had.
Oh, yes. That, yeah.
That was brilliant. Got syndicated, didn't it?
Yeah.
Went on to the Sun and other nationals.
Yeah, there were some issues with that as well, weren't there?
Move on. Hutchie, what's the best thing you've ever written, town related?
I really enjoy talking to people from the past. So, recently I did something with Sixto Peralta, which I really enjoyed. And I really enjoyed something I did with Luciano Civelli recently about how his
that was great.
How his dad essentially was the man at fault for all of his injury problems, which I was not expecting.
And he's also now a gardener.
Yeah, he spent time gardening in Australia and is plotting to open a French bakery in Buenos Aires.
That's really good. If you've not read that,
that's worth reading.
Absolutely, go back and look at that. Craig asked about January. I think we've done that quite a lot, Craig. But thanks for your question. Justin Grimwood, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being low and 10 being high, how far up the honey badger-ometer did Toto Nsiala climb when confronting Colchester's Luke Norris? Was there a flare-up?
There was a bit of a flare-up. I don't think he got enough back from Norris to kind of... Lambert needs to go full-on. Lambert needs to get something back. Well, I'm not sure this was in the...
Yeah.
No.
It takes two to honey badger, so to speak.
Let's give him a three on the ometer.
Okay, there you go, Justin. Matt Thomas.
Go on, Mark Singh.
Friend of the show.
Number five,
Fighty Matt. With food intake about to increase at Christmas, it got me wondering, as is tradition, which ITFC players are most likely to become tubsters when they retire? I'd bet on Chambers and Norwood. Norwood's a great shout. He strikes me as someone
who would blow up
a la Ricky Hatton.
I don't think Chambers will.
No, I think Chambers is too concerned about his appearance.
Yeah, that's James Norwood's a candidate for that, and good on him.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what footballers do, isn't it, when they retire generally?
Yeah, I can't really look past James Norwood, actually.
Can we also, while we're on the subject of James Norwood, just pause for a second and enjoy just how well his hair transplant has done?
Yes, it's a success, isn't it?
It's a great success, and it's inspiring to all those out there. Stewie Pott, obviously not with us, but follically challenged individuals.
That's where he really is this
there
week.
There is hope. My hairdresser has just had the same thing, and I used James Norwood as an example to show it can work, and look how successful this has been. So, fair play.
Well done, James.
Kevin Hurst asks, will the Honey Badger play one or two more experienced players on Wednesday? We'll come on to that at the end when we talk about Lincoln and the Cup replay. Harry Butcher.
Good. Hit it, Ross.
Friend of the show, number...
Seven?
Seven.
Seven. Excellent. I'm pleased Ross is getting involved in the jingles as well.
180.
100. And, yes. Good as well, because Harry's the dartist.
Yes.
My favourite food is burger and chips. What's your guy's favourite place to eat burgers?
My house.
Yeah?
Coming off my barbecue.
Really? You claim that's the best burger you can eat, or that's just your
favourite? It's my favourite place to eat burgers.
It's a good shout, to be fair. Roscoe?
Same, really.
Anywhere it's free is your answer. Free burgers.
Free burgers.
You know what? I actually quite like an awful Burger Van burger occasionally.
A filthy burger.
Yeah, but I'm not going. I'm going into that with my eyes open.
Yeah, there are times.
I know what I'm eating. Yeah.
Usually when hungover, those times are. But there's definitely time and place for a filthy botulism burger.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where's your favourite burger place?
Probably my favourite burger is a place called The Plough in Hathersage, which is in the Peak District. They do a tremendous burger.
Okay.
Anywhere that says to you, how would you like your burger cooked, generally is a sign you're going to have a decent burger served up to you. The answer, of course, is medium. Not medium rare. That's steak. Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show, number 4.
Our man in Wales. Big up yourself, Harvey. If you had to make a decision today, Ross, would you give Dizelle a new deal? It's like he's being told off then. Yeah. If you had to give Ross a decision today, would you give Dizelle a new deal?
Yes.
Okay. Why? I think there's still some...
Yeah, I think he's still got ability there.
He's definitely got ability there. Yeah. It's just whether we're ever going to see it.
Yeah. He's a piece that Annie did this morning, back there. He said he's not been at his standards, so...
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good work, Hutchie.
Thanks, mate.
Would you give Dizelle a new deal?
Yes, definitely. The first thing you would do is take the option in his current deal. But I think the issue more with Dizelle is whether he will sign it rather than whether you're offering it.
Good point.
That's where the real battle is.
Mm.
But definitely, you have to offer it, otherwise Ipswich won't get any compensation if he moves on. So at the end of his contract, so you very much have to offer it at the very least.
Ryan asks, following first Ferguson's and now McAnthony's comments about us only being top because we played Bolton's kids, in quote marks, do you think we'll see Lambert playing a stronger side in the cup to make a statement, or will we still see the same backup squad? We'll come to that in a minute, Ryan. Christian Davis, there are a few teams in and around us that are beginning to generate a bit of momentum, Wickham, Blackpool, Oxford United. Should we be looking over our shoulders with concern? Now, Hutchie, I listened to the final bit of last week's podcast on the way in this morning, and you basically said you think Town are going to get promoted.
Yeah, I do.
Excellent. So with that in mind, should we be worrying about the teams around the mighty Blues?
Yeah, I think you have to. It's very arrogant not to. I wouldn't say I'm aboard the Navy vessel that you've been on since the start of the start of the season.
That's sailing still.
Yeah, I'm very much not on that. I do think they're going to go on to get promoted. I just feel that they will. But yeah, you have to worry about the team. They're not, Ipswich aren't top anymore. Wickham are top. Could well be first v second at Portman Road next Tuesday, with Wickham being first and Ipswich second.
Yeah,
you got to worry about them. Of course you have. They've got momentum that Ipswich haven't got at the moment because of the fixture list, but Ipswich need to build that.
They haven't played a league game in like 4 weeks.
They don't play league games.
It is. Yeah, they just do cup games now, don't they? Excuse me.
Oh, that's why you're wearing the scarf.
Yeah, FPL Tractor. How much did Steve and Andy bribe Clinton Morrison and Sue Smith to get the EFL trophy game at Peterborough? And then he adds hashtag Honey Badger and the emojis.
Clinton received a package in the post.
You can't say what was in it, though.
And that is as far as it'll
go. For legal reasons. Also, as I look through these questions and the amount of hashtag Honey Badgers there are, you, my friend, officially gave Honey Badger a thing status.
It's a thing now.
It is now a thing. Lord Justice Warren, sitting in the High Court of Things, has dictated the Honey Badger is indeed a thing.
It's a thing.
Kevin Mays wants to know, where were you on March the 10th, 2001? Hashtag Honey Badger. Well, Ross was about 4.
Yeah, I was 4.
So I'd imagine that you can't really remember where you were.
No.
Yeah, causing trouble somewhere, I'd imagine.
Probably. Eating food.
Let me just get my phone. I might be able to chart actually where I was on that day.
What day was it, first of all?
I don't know.
Why is he bringing this up?
This is the Prince Andrew thing.
Oh.
I was either in Pizza Express Woking.
Yeah, or?
Or, hold on.
What day was it? Was it a Saturday?
I imagine so. If they've gone to a party at... I'm trusting Prince Andrew here. If there indeed was a party at Pizza Express...
If you're a royal, every day's a party, though.
Yeah, but everybody else attending wasn't.
I suppose, yeah.
I'm just getting up the Ipswich Town season from that season, because I may well have been at that.
I think I was... I just finished journalism college then, and I think I was on a week's break with my eventually to be wife on March 10th, 2001. I can't remember where we went, probably nowhere special because we didn't have any money.
Nice. I can tell you exactly where I was on March the 10th, 2001. I was at Villa Park.
Well, yeah,
watching,
there you go.
Watching what I believe from my memory was Chris Makin's Ipswich Town debut. Ipswich lost 2-1, and me and my friend Egg Mayonnaise, we made a sign on the way to the game with a big picture of David James on it, and it just said "dodgy keeper" on it. And he he came out to warm up early from the start of the second half and gave me and Sam a little nod.
A nod.
He saw our sign.
Not a gesticulation in his hand.
A nod and a grin.
Mm.
That's where I was. Not so, Pizza Express Woking.
So, Kevin, there's a very fulsome answer that you probably weren't expecting. Hutchie knows exactly where he was.
If we hadn't dealt with the Prince Andrew stuff at the very beginning, we may have had some more funny stuff there, but we can't go back.
No, well. George, will Town look to loan out any player come January? George, we've done January stuff to death, haven't we? I don't feel
And
right.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again.
But Idris Elmazouni needs to go out on loan.
There you go.
That's my big thought.
Good shout.
It's in the power rankings, so it must be true.
There's your answer, George. Simon Weiss, are there any spare tickets for the live pod? Or are there any one of the Legion of Pod listeners that can't make it and want to make my Christmas?
Ooh.
Well, as far as I know, there aren't any spare tickets. They're all sold out, unless anyone can't make it and can let us know.
You can be my plus one. There you go. We've got plus ones, right?
Have we?
I don't know.
I don't think we
have. I think you're making promises you can't deliver on. Sorry.
Yeah, you're writing checks that you're... whatever. Yeah. Simon, as it stands, unfortunately there aren't any spare tickets.
I'll get you in, Simon. All right.
Okay.
Ross, stop it.
But as I say, Live Pod, a matter of weeks away now. It's going to be excellent. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be emotional. And there's going to be beer drunk. Jamie Carpenter, I feel Ipswich will end up with a trip to Wembley this season. Were any of you at Wembley for our last visit? Well, again, Ross was...
I was, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
You were three?
I was 3 years old. My uncle took me. Because my first game was the Bolton second legger, which was just unreal. Of course, I didn't know what was going on.
You had no idea what was going on.
But my all my family don't really, they're not in the football, but my uncle, my nan is.
Yeah.
My nan went, oh, let's take, you know, Ross to his first game. You know, they got tickets. So I went, and then they also went, let's take him to Wembley.
So you were there?
I was there, yeah.
Outstanding. Can you remember anything about it?
Only that we won, of course, because obviously, but
can,
I remember.
Can you remember that?
I just remember, I always speak to my uncle about it, and him just put us on his shoulders and, you know, just we were just celebrating.
Did you go on the pitch at the end of the semi-final?
No, because, yeah, I was three. I don't think my uncle would have done that for a three-year-old to run on. But, yeah, you were there as well, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Hutchie was there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I was there. I've got some... at some point, I'll show you the photos. My hair that day was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a proper, like, perm.
What are your memories of the day?
Of Wembley?
Yeah.
Thinking that when the first goal went in, that, oh no, because the first goal was a Richard Wright own goal, Craig Kignett, and then off the back of the bar, and then it hit Richard Wright's arm. And at that moment, you're kind of thinking, oh no, oh no. And you're kind of thinking that all day for the rest of the game until Royster scored at the end, and then you kind of know that...
Premiership!
Good times. I watched that game at, I think it's called Super Bowl in Bury, which is a bowling alley, creative name, with a bunch of my mates. And my goodness, although I wasn't obviously technically a Town fan at that point, it was quite the day, wasn't it?
Who would have known that 18 years later, 19 years later, yeah, you would be the host
of an Ipswich Town podcast
with a lad who was at the game and was 3 years old.
I know. Life comes at you fast, people. Yeah. There you go, Jamie. Dan Rosenblatt says, I'm going to have to cough, excuse me. That's got it. Dan Rosenblatt says, I don't think we're competing in League One anymore. We didn't compete in the Championship last year, but for different reasons, we've probably got enough points to stay up now.
Next question.
Yeah, it's just a statement, Dan. And the final question, Sindre Eliasson, the man with the excellent avatar of Floorball, I believe it's called, says cheekily, if you don't mind me saying, Sindre, do you ever go to games, Heath? The answer is not very often, because I'm a big cheese and therefore I don't need to. I shuffle lists and issue orders back at home base. So no, not very
home
often.
Base.
Home, yeah, home base. That's why I work in the weekends. That's the reason I can't go.
Your orange and green dungarees.
Yeah. No, Sindre, thank you for asking. I don't often go because I don't actually physically cover the games. And at weekends, my days off, the wife would not be happy if I...
Take her with you.
She's not interested.
She listens to the podcast.
I know she listens to the podcast, but she says it needs to be less Ipswich Town, so...
Okay.
But again, I explained to her, it is an Ipswich Town podcast. Anyway, but I will obviously be going the game of the podcast live, which is...
You're going to go to the game that day?
Well, I've got to, haven't I? How can I host a podcast of which part of it's going to be talking about the game if I've
you
not
You do
been
it every week.
Yeah, I know, but by then I've had time to read your stuff.
Watch highlights.
Yeah, yeah. Watch Fair highlights enough. And also I'm pretty good at blagging stuff.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's Bristol Rovers.
Yes. Correct.
Excellent.
That's a two.
There you go.
That's a
two. Let's hope the boys win, eh? Sindre, thanks for your question. That here endeth mailbag. Let's talk about, before we... Where we go? Not an hour, 11 minutes? We've got a bit of time. That's decent time. Let's talk about what's coming up. And what's coming up, of course, is the FA Cup replay at Lincoln, first of all, on Wednesday. A game that Hutchie Darmus predicted. You said it would be a draw and there'd be a replay. You also said they were going to get through in the replay.
Yeah. Was that what I said originally? Yeah. I
know. Do we want them to get through?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I definitely want them to. My new feeling on it is that, it might require extra time.
Oh, Jesus, I hope not.
Yeah.
That's going to be a real test of our new deadlines if it does.
Yeah, it will be. I think it may require extra time.
And penners or just extra time?
All I can see in my little ball crystal ball is extra time.
Extra time.
Hopefully.
What kind of sides are you going to put out?
I think it's going to be quite similar to the first game. I'm still waiting to find out whether there's a chance that Flynn Downes and Andre Dizel have been pulled out of England's second game, which they're playing on Tuesday night at Wickham. I'm not sure if that's actually happened or not. I'll find out about that later today. But that would mean they'd have to make two changes to the first leg side anyway. But yeah, I think it'll be something quite similar to the first game, if I'm honest.
Roscoe, what are your thoughts?
We're going to lose, probably, in normal time.
I don't care what happens, as long as it's in normal time. Because if it goes to extra time and penalties, that 10:30 deadline is going to be a serious problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you wanting Town to go through, Roscoe? You want fake up progress?
I wanted them to win the first game.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So they can lose now. Because they didn't win the first game.
There
so,
you go. Have you got a driver for...
I do.
Who?
David.
David.
He does some of the videos with a hat.
Okay. David Fleischer.
Yeah,
is
that Ranty? Yeah. Ranty David.
Ranty David. He's great.
Wow. He's great, yeah.
He's the one who went all potty mouthed on the recent one about the ref.
Great.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, to bleep him, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's taking me.
He's a good lad. I like him. David, if you are listening.
That's great news.
Thanks for your input. I think you'll make an interesting travelling companion for Roscoe to Lincoln.
Yes.
And we look forward to hearing you swear or not. Don't swear. After the
Only
game.
If you have to.
Only if you have to. If Town have lost like 7-0 or something.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. And also, of course, we're finally back into league action on Saturday. And it's the first home game on a Saturday for about a million years. They play Blackpool on Saturday. What are we thinking about that? You're not even thinking about that yet.
No,
you're just
not,
thinking about
not
Lincoln.
Really. Yeah. No, it's quite hard to think about. Take one game at a time, Mark. That's the way that you deal with things.
Absolutely.
Each game as it comes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lincoln first. It would just be good to get back into the league.
Get a win.
Yeah. It will be, but if whether or not they get through in the FA Cup will mean potentially another free weekend the following week after that.
Mm.
So it's all just that little bit disjointed at the moment. But yeah, you've got two back-to-back home games, which are Blackpool and then Wickham. Wickham one's really big. Blackpool really big as well against two teams that are challenging up there, so it'll be a good marker for Ipswich where they're at. Two wins would be huge. Anything less will mean a little bit of soul searching as usual, but two wins could be a real statement there. And you always look at back-to-back games Saturday, Tuesday at home as being opportunities to take 6 points, and that doesn't happen very often for Ipswich. They don't do that very often, so that'd be huge.
Roscoe, Tango beat Blackpool.
Yeah.
Score?
2-1. No clean sheet. 2-1.
2-1. There you go. Boys, I've enjoyed this return to podcasting duties. I hope I have not popped any eardrums, you know, particularly during the strike. We have, of course, now got to play the Archant jingle, so you might want to tune out for 15 seconds or so. Or
from true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more,
I just thought I'd play it.
Go for it.
Head to audioboom.com/channel/archant.
We're going to get fined because you dipped that down a little bit.
I think we should just play it at the start of the show. Just go.
So we'll just start. We'll just start the show with it.
Yeah, just bro, me go.
That's the sound of people tuning out straight away.
We had on the email that we had in last week from the our listener in Amsterdam.
Oh, the geezer was listening to a folklore.
Yeah, he listened
one,
to the folklore podcast. He was one and done with that.
But still, we've done it. Shadow, we are actually figures. Exactly. We've got someone to listen to something that's not us, which is a bit of an effort, quite frankly.
Is one archant still a thing? We have this motivational thing that we're all one. Yay, happy family. Is that still a thing? Because we've demonstrated it.
It very much is a thing, of course, he says, putting his manager's hat on. One archant, the true values of inspiration and motivation and
one
mediocrity. Yeah.
And we've shown that by getting one listeners for the folklore.
There you go, we've done it. Now, that folklore, I bet no folklore listeners are coming over to us, are they?
Well, exactly. Are they? Is everyone else pushing this like we
Probably
are?
Not, because exactly. We're the big deal, though, aren't we?
Are we going to play this at the live podcast?
We should do.
To start the show.
Yeah, start the show. Yeah, people love that.
When's the live folklore podcast?
We'll find out. As I usually say, obviously, if you've enjoyed this, or even if you haven't, just hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've had a few of those recently. They're really nice to read. Hutch, you actually asked for negative reviews, which was interesting last week.
Not so much on the iTunes page.
Yeah.
Just general
feedback.
I just want to know what people like and don't like.
Absolutely,
feedback.
Absolutely.
Learn and grow.
Indeed, that's our motto. Another Archant value. Boys, we better take our leave. Any other business before we head back to the office? And I've got to clear about a million emails from my week off.
Just delete them all.
I wish I could, mate. I wish I could.
No
Roscoe?
Other business.
Delete them all too.
That would be what Ross would do. I guarantee it.
And Watson just wouldn't look at them.
Watson doesn't read emails either, or indeed text messages. Chaps, it's been great being back in the chair. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you again next week.